You hear the name Smithsonian, chances are you think of the famed museums in Washington, D.C. Well, think again. A 57-acre stand of trees in Livingston County has been added to a global network that has a distinguished name, the Smithsonian Institution's Forest Global Earth Observatory. The plot is all part of the University of Michigan's Edwin S. George Reserve. Christopher Dick is the director, and he joins us now. What exactly is this network of trees?
Okay, well, it started back in Panama in 1982. Researchers were interested in understanding how there could be so many tree species packed in such small areas of rainforest. And in order to understand that and just to document the staggering species diversity, they began to put out large-scale forest inventory plots. And the first one was set up in Barro Colorado Island, Panama, and it was 50 hectares. And researchers learned so much from that forest, and it attracted so many researchers from around the world that other countries began putting up their own plots, becoming part of this Smithsonian network. And so originally, the network was focused only on tropical areas, but then China came on board, and they wanted to be part of it with their temperate forests, and then Europe, and then finally, North America has gotten involved. And now our plot represents the 10th North American plot of the Smithsonian.
What is it about this 57-acre stand of trees that made it perfect? I mean, you've got how many acres at the entire reserve?
The entire reserve is about 1,300 acres, okay. But about a fourth of that is sort of mature, undisturbed forest. And what makes this stand exceptionally important for us from a research standpoint is that we've had researchers from the University of Michigan working there intensively since about 1930. So we know a lot about these forests. It's completely protected, and we have a large critical mass of students and faculty members from Michigan and elsewhere who would like to use this forest. That's what makes it important.
What does joining the Smithsonian Network mean for researchers, for you and your team of researchers?
So what it means is that we now have a standardized way of comparing data from forests from around the world. We measure the same size categories of trees. Everything above 1 centimeter of stem diameter at breast height gets measured and mapped down to the last square meter. We put the data in the same format and share it with other researchers. It makes it really useful for comparative studies of forest dynamics.
And I know it took a lot of work to make this all happen. I want to ask you, did I read this correctly, that this plot is the size of 43 football fields and there were more than 45,000 trees that had to be tagged, measured, and mapped?
That's right. We had 12 students from Middlebury College and from University of Michigan because our supervising biologist, Dave Allen, is actually from Middlebury College, but he was a U of M alumnus and did his PhD work in this forest. So we had those 12 students working full time for 2 months, mapping about a little more than 1,000 trees per football field size of area of forest. These students were great. They sweated. They were bitten by mosquitoes, black flies. They went through swamps, invasive species, poison ivy, all kinds of things. They did a great job and learned a lot.
Doing their bit for science.
Yeah.
Tell us about the trees that are in this stand.
This is what we call an oak hickory forest. So if you look at the large trees in the forest, it's dominated by species of oaks and hickories. And this is a very common forest type in eastern North America and also especially in southern Michigan. And we think that it was actually created by Native Americans because this kind of forest can only survive with a certain frequency of fire. And we don't get that frequency of fire naturally. And so we think that these are sort of the remnants, the legacy of Native American fire practices. And so when we look at the forest, when we look at the actual tree stems that we've measured, we can see that the oaks and the hickories are the largest trees in the plot. A lot of these trees are over 100 years old, but they're not represented in the understory. So they're very uncommon as seedlings and saplings.
Is that the understory?
Yep, that's the understory.
The babies, the next generation?
That's right, below the canopy. And so what we find actually in the understory are huge numbers of red maple and black cherry. And so it looks like our forest is in a major period of transition when the oak hickory forest is being replaced by red maple and black cherry and species that are otherwise vulnerable to fire.
Hmm.
So we're seeing that natural process happening as a result of the changing vegetation history.
Now, if one forest tells a story, what kinds of stories and patterns will you all be looking for now that you can compare this stand of trees in Livingston County and forests in places like China and Brazil and Indonesia? What are you looking for?
So from a global perspective, I think everybody is interested in what's happening to forests as a result of increased atmospheric carbon.
Climate change.
Yep, climate change. And one aspect of it that's affecting the whole world is the increase in carbon. And so we expect actually for a lot of forests, whether they're tropical or temperate, to experience increased production of wood, increased biomass, increased growth rates. If they can take
because there's so much carbon available.
Yeah, if they can take it up and incorporate it. In the temperate areas, so in China, Europe, North America, they experience winters. What we're seeing is an extended growing season. There's more time, a longer summer, so more time for these trees to grow and add biomass.
Is that a good thing for the trees?
Potentially. And it might not be good for all trees because not all trees, not all populations or species are going to be adapted to last a summer that's 2 months longer. So those,
and warmer.
Yes, those species that are not well adapted to last for this longer growing period will probably be replaced by species that can adapt. Those might be more southern species, species more, that you're more likely to find in Ohio or Arkansas. They might start taking over the forest. Those are things that we want to watch for.
If you and I were having this conversation in 100 years, what do you think that stand of trees is going to look like?
Depends a little bit on what happens to precipitation in Michigan. So if we still have a lot of precipitation, a lot of rain, there's always moisture available to these forests, we might see something that looks a little bit more like a tropical forest, very lush, beautiful. But if it goes into the other direction, and if we have less precipitation, it's already a very dry forest now with very dry soils. So we might see something that's not even forested at all.
That is terrifying. That really is. And I'm guessing that it goes without saying that this beautiful stand of trees that kind of takes us back to Michigan way back isn't available to the public to go tromping through.
No, but it's very similar to the forests that are found in the Pinckney Recreation Area and also in Waterloo. And so people should get out and really enjoy those forests.
Christopher Dick is an associate professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at the University of Michigan. And he directs the Edwin S. George Reserve. And that's where a 57-acre research plot has just become part of a Smithsonian Institution Global Research Network. Professor, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.